Welcome to the Yes for Wrestling show. I'm here with my special guest. He's a former WWE wrestler. His name is Mr. Paul Landon. How are you doing, man?
I like the hey, Mister. Yeah, a little older.
Sincere, yeah.
Yeah, no, thank you. I'm doing well. Glad you're here. Yeah, this is exciting.
Thank you. So you're in Australia, obviously doing some work with OCW, Outback Championship Wrestling. How are you going with that? All good?
Yeah, it's neat. You know, it's all trial and error.
Yeah.
Yeah, any new endeavor is an exciting one, nonetheless, you know, and, you know, it's an opportunity to grow. Mm-hmm. So, you know, I think the primary basis for me being out here is just to kind of further fuel the talent that's already in Australia that needs to piece together things in order to help get them possibly to the next level or, you know, just kind of help young talent aspire and continue to aspire and self-empower and hopefully... And, you know, exceed their dreams. You know, who knows? Yes. But yeah, it's been wonderful and very positive so far.
Yeah, absolutely. And you were saying to me earlier, you wanted to open up your own wrestling school
in
Melbourne. Yeah. How's that going on?
Trial and error. Going to be meeting with a friend of mine tonight and seeing about possibly doing some sort of maybe work share space with a gym that he's got. It's always a matter of finding, you know, there's so many factors, whether it's getting a location, ring, startup funds, and all this stuff. But so far, everything's pointing in the right direction. It seems to be coming together pretty well. But yeah, training is, as I get older and gain more experience in different ways, it's something that's more rewarding for me to see the light bulb go off and to see people, like I said, empower themselves and feel that they really can achieve what they're after and exceed their own expectations. I think, unfortunately, young kids, I think, and older individuals, but just it's easy to shortchange yourself, you know, and maybe not give yourself the chance or the benefit of the doubt that you can do something because, you know, a lot of times maybe it's the people you're around or whatever that, you know, as I say, misery loves company. I like seeing the strength in individuals or possibly helping them find their own strength. And I mean, to me, that's more rewarding than any monetary value.
Absolutely.
It's neat. It's really neat.
Oh, that's awesome. Yes.
Yeah, we'll see. It's an endeavor and I'm hoping it'll continue and take off here shortly, but you know, everything's pointing in the right direction and hopefully it's just a matter of time before we really get this turkey off the ground.
Absolutely. I mean, we do have a lot of great talent here in Australia that could potentially make it onto the international stage at one time.
Some already are. You know, getting out to Japan. A friend of mine just recently signed a developmental deal. He's in Florida now working with WWE.
Matt Silva.
So I'm real excited for him. It's just kind of the start of it. I mean, Australia always has had lots of wonderful talent. It's just how do you bridge the gap, you know, between getting it there, whatever there might be, whether it's making a career for yourself in Mexico or Japan or just traveling within the continent of Australia, you know. It's a rough industry. There's lots of, there can be lots of manipulation. There can be lots of dead ends. There can be lots of, just crooked individuals, you know, it can be really rough. And the more positivity and the more guidance you can actually help and help foster talent, I mean, that's what I'm all about. I'm all about to pull the wool over anybody's eyes or enough of those clowns.
That's fair enough. Well, let's go back a bit to your WWE career. You go back to your debut, you had a shot at the WWE title at that stage. Against the guy who right now is one of the most, biggest WWE superstars in history. His name is Brock Lesnar.
Yeah.
How was that going up against, you know, Brock Lesnar in your first WWE match, you know, on TV? How was that?
Still feeling it.
Painful.
I think, you know, at the time it was set up as kind of a punishment. Storyline wise, because I walked in on the boss, for me it was a neat test. Even though, you know, I knew I was getting thrown into the lions then, it was still neat to, right off the bat, mix it up with the top guy in the company.
Yeah.
And in a lot of ways, he still is the top guy in the
Absolutely,
company. I mean,
yeah.
he's, in my opinion, the most convincing wrestler on the planet.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's just the guy, he is credibility.
Yeah.
You know, but I had, you know, pretty decent encounter with him, you know.
Yeah.
I knew that I wasn't just some idiot off the street, and
no,
I was there to do my job professionally, and I thought, you know, I did the best I could with what I was told to do. And, it's a fun memory, a painful one.
Painful one,
yeah.
Fun,
yeah. Absolutely.
Was it worth it?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, you know, could be a fun conversation starter,
yeah.
maybe. I don't know.
Yeah, you know, and you're a tag team with Brian Kendrick at that time, you multiple WWE tag team champions. So
yeah.
What was that like teaming up with Brian Kendrick in there?
I don't know. The advantage is anytime you can do something with your actual friends or your mates, you know, it's going to translate.
Yeah.
As far as having fun, you know, I think on TV you see a lot of throw together teams, you know.
Yes, absolutely.
These guys have the same haircut and they got the same shorts and they both like red.
Same t-shirts.
Yeah, that's what's thrown together.
Yeah.
And it just, you either click or you don't. And you can build that chemistry. You know, I had teamed with Billy Kidman at one time, and that was a prime example of, these guys both have dark hair and short shorts, and they go up the top rope, let's throw them together. But there was just such a, there was just a gap in between our personalities that no matter how well we might have clicked, technically, there was always something lacking there. You know, we didn't speak to each other. When we weren't at work, we didn't even have each other's phone numbers, you know. And I think that translates as well. Whereas, you know, Brian, I've known for over a decade. I met him, I think, in like 2002. And then we didn't both reunite on WWE television until 2003, almost 2004. So when you can have organic chemistry, that translates on TV, I think. And it just makes it so much more fun to go to work. You know, you don't want to yank your hair out. Especially when someone else is trying to do that.
Exactly.
In the match. So.
Yeah, definitely. Definitely not. So,
and we still talk today, you know.
Ryan's
still one of my best friends today. You know, we live 30 minutes from each other, and we still team from time to time. And at the end of the day, we're friends, first and foremost. You know, even if we didn't have wrestling, we'd still be friends.
Absolutely, yeah.
So that's something that's very rewarding for me, because friends tend to be far and few between, and that's
yeah.
It's a cutthroat.
Exactly. So let's just say you go back to WWE.
Sure.
Just for argument's sake.
Sure.
And you go to the WWE, which wrestler at the moment would you really like to step in the ring with and have a really good match with? You know, guys like CM Punk or Daniel Bryan,
I really like.
Absolutely. I would love to see that.
Yeah, I mean, we've had matches independently, like in Ring of Honor. Yeah,
the Swarm, you remember the
Swarm? Yeah, the Swarm, you know, never really took off because I was injured.
But
that's a prime example of two guys who were friends, who had a connection.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, back when I was in university and he was doing shows in Texas, you know, he was sleeping on my couch, you know, my apartment. And I mean, we just, you know, to see and to know guys who do the struggle, you know, they pay the dues, you know, like you can't help but respect that, especially when you're going through that yourself.
Mm-hmm.
And so there was always a mutual respect between someone like him and myself and someone like Brian Kendrick and myself.
Yeah.
Whereas, you know, there are other individuals that maybe don't get along with as well for various reasons. And, you know, I don't really have any desire to work with people like that. You just never know. Randy Orton's another guy I really wish I could have gotten in the ring with that I didn't really have an opportunity to. It's because he's so natural. And there's really a handful of guys. There's a bunch, but there are guys that I wish I could get in the ring with for maybe not the best reasons because I don't like them. Triple H. Gosh. Yeah, some guys just need to get their asses whipped.
Yeah,
man. You know what I mean?
But
overall, you know, I did the best I could with what I was given and with what I strived for. You know, it wasn't the easiest environment to work in.
Yeah, I understand.
you know, for me personally, I always wanted to make sure that I could go home and look myself in the mirror and not be disgusted with who was looking back at me, you know.
Yeah.
And I think for the most part I did a decent job of that. You know, I don't have any real regrets at all. So yeah, I'm fairly content with what happened, you know, and that's just a small book on a library shelf.
Yeah.
You know, there's so much more ahead.
Yeah.
That I'm looking forward to, but
yeah,
lots of talented guys there.
Bright future ahead.
Yeah, I mean, I can't say I fully watched the show now, but yeah, there's another guy who I really liked working with who was under a different name. I think he's Damian Sandow.
Ah, yes, Damian Sandow. Yeah.
And when I worked with him, he was what is his name? I don't even remember.
I
know Casey James and Aaron Stevens. It was Aaron Stevens.
Aaron Stevens, okay. Yeah.
And so I think he's done really well for himself.
Yeah,
I'm really happy to see him
be
successful because he deserves it. So there are lots of guys I think I'd like to mix it up with in and out of WWE.
Yeah,
but
absolutely.
As far as on that stage, you know, Dana Bryan and Sandow was fun to work with, but Orton and... I think any of the top name guys, Undertaker, any of these guys, you know, it would have been neat to at least test yourself with them.
Yeah, for sure.
I was lucky to be in the ring with Eddie Guerrero, team with Mysterio at times. And things like that will really kind of just, like, wow, is this really happening?
Yeah.
You pinch yourself.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
You know,
I imagine.
Grew up watching these guys.
Yeah.
Surreal.
Yeah, absolutely. I can imagine that. Yeah, absolutely.
Van Damme was another one by
Van
far
Damme,
that I wish I could have gotten in the ring with. You know?
Yeah.
And I might some other day. Who knows?
Know, yeah.
But he was somebody that I watched and admired leading up to that point.
Mm-hmm.
And then when I met him and interacted with Rob, my respect and appreciation for him grew even more.
Yeah.
So that's rare as well.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, you'll meet some of these guys and I kind of wish I'd just kept watching them on TV and stayed at that, but never know what you're going
to
get.
Well, now we're just going to get to some questions from our listeners, and we'll be right back. So our first question comes from Jared Grohl. He asks, do you still keep in touch with Brian Kendrick, and who was your favorite opponent to wrestle? Well, I guess you're ready.
I don't mind answering again. I do keep in touch with Brian all the time. You know, we spent 4th of July together. We dragged Chris Masters out to hang out with us at the beach. Anytime you can hang out with your legit friends,
always.
Even it makes the hardships of wrestling not as difficult anymore.
Yeah.
You know, because as much as it looks like fun and it is fun, but as much as we enjoy it and love it, like anything else, there are times when you really sit there and you're like, God, why am I still doing this? Or how can I keep my body can't keep up with this? Or whatever it is, it's your friends, your legit friends that kind of help pull you through those tough times, and man, nobody has really been that solid and steadfast of a friend as Brian has. I mean, by leaps and bounds, my best friend in the wrestling business, and outside of wrestling, he's definitely at the top, one of my absolute best friends that I've ever had. As far as favorite opponent to wrestle, aside from Brian, because he's just such a pleasure to work with. And I admired watching Brian before, you know, he had a bit of a jump on me when he started because he really did legit train with Shawn Michaels.
Yes.
People tend to think that I was in that same class and I wasn't. It got misconstrued in an interview. But Brian's the real deal. The real deal. And I admire him and I look up to him as a wrestler and I ask him still for advice on things.
Absolutely.
And so, aside from Brian being my favorite person to work with, I gotta say Christopher Daniels is he keeps popping up in my head as far as like, who did I really love working with and love wrestling with and had just such a pleasure being in the ring with, and Chris Daniels. I mean, I just really enjoyed it. So that's kind of what I guess would come off the top of my head.
Definitely two great picks there.
But there's so many other guys I really want to get in the ring with. There's a guy in Japan named Kenta. That I really would love to mix it up with. I did a tour of Noah not too long ago, almost a year ago. and I got to see him in person. And as much as I was a fan of Kenta's from a viewer's standpoint, when I got to see him and witness him live, it was just wow, just blew me away. Yeah, he's phenomenal. Yeah, I could go on and on. So many guys I admire.
Yeah, no, that's fine. Our next question comes from Nesat Ergin. He asks, what do you think about Matt Silva and him going into the WWE now? Obviously, Matt Silva is a Melbourne-based wrestler who's now into WWE NXT.
Yeah, no, I'm really proud of him. You know, yeah. I met Matt maybe 2 years ago. And when I saw him, he remembers, I said, I called him Baby Lesnar.
Yeah.
Because
he does remind you a bit, yeah.
Yeah, he's like a gingery Brock Lesnar, you know what I mean? Like the no neck. I mean, he's guy's a brick house. And he's not obviously as tall or like the actual physical stature, but he's, you know, Brock Lesnar in a microwave. And I think he's got a world of potential. I mean, he's got just such an upside to him, and I was so happy to hear that he got picked up because I thought that, you know, wow, like I guess WWE does make some smart decisions from time to time.
They do, so
when they hired him, I thought that was really fantastic. With that said, there's another friend of mine who's also a ginger, El Generico, who I think is Sammy Hayne or what?
Zane or something.
Sammy Zane in NXT.
Yeah.
And I remember speaking with Matt last month before he went out to Florida. I said, look, this friend of mine I used to team with, he was El Generico, and he knew who he was, but he said, I'm going to see if, you know, if anybody hook up with that guy, or at least be around him, because he's super positive. He's not going to lead you astray, you know. Because every now and then, you know, they tend to hire a lot of boneheads, too.
They do.
Who just...
You never know what's going to
happen. For whatever reason. Yeah, I mean... I think Florida or Tampa, for that matter, or where they used to be when they used to have a development in Tampa, I think they're in Orlando now.
Yeah.
But you would see mugshots coming out of all these like the next superstar, and like all of a sudden they're mugshots online and for drunk driving or just idiots, you know. Yeah. And so when I knew Matt was going over to Florida, I said, look, you know, like I'll go up with my buddy El Generico and
show you the way.
Yeah, you don't have to be friends, but just if you're gonna kind of look, you know, pattern or kind of be around somebody, this is the guy. And I think they've really hit it off, actually, so that's good to know.
Oh,
but
that's awesome, dude.
Yeah, keep an eye out for Matt Silva.
Absolutely.
Or whatever they name him.
Who knows what they could do,
So
our next question comes from Bradley Friend. He asks, what did you think of the Brian Kendrick gimmick back in 2009? What questions here about Brian?
No, it's neat. He deserves it. I was happy for him. You know, I was real pleased. Anything to see like a good guy getting through that kind of glass ceiling.
Yeah.
Is neat, and I was excited to see. Yeah, I think he was world champion for like a minute or two in like a match, like a scramble match or something, right?
Yes, that's right.
Where we were at a certain time, we couldn't have foreseen something of that nature, and while they had their thumb on me a lot, it was neat to see Brian brush that off and keep at it. The only thing I didn't really think was all that great was that they gave him this manager, this big manager, Ezekiel.
Oh, yes, that's right, yes.
And there wasn't anything against him, but I just felt that what they were doing for Brian was more so with the manager in mind.
Yeah.
And
to get him out of more.
Yeah, and I thought that, you know, okay, I get that. But again, I think Brian ran with it. He did the best he could with it.
Absolutely.
It made an impression, you know.
Yeah,
I mean? Now there's so many wrestlers that use the songs, you know what I mean?
Yeah,
and I like to think that that Brian kind of trailblazed that.
Yeah.
When, you know, and I'm not even saying like The Rock, it's not someone, but when you're using a guy's name, you know, as far as that character, it really translated and people didn't like him, and he was doing his job really well.
Yeah.
You know, he wasn't supposed to be a likable character.
Yeah, yeah.
And he had dancing. I don't know about his dance moves. They gotta talk to him about that. But no, I was entertained by it.
Yeah, I was too.
I like his jackets too. He had cool jackets.
Yeah, he did have cool jackets. Yeah,
he still has them. I put one on the other day.
Oh, really?
Yeah, you got mad.
Awesome. Well, that's right. That's enough. He's still friends, right?
Absolutely. Unless I put a jacket on.
So, next question comes from William Bogatirov. He asks, what is the major difference competing between WWE and Ring of Honor?
Work rate. Work rate. And when I say work rate, I mean, in WWE, you're kind of a circus animal. I mean, you're on the
Yeah.
road well over 300 days out
Oh,
of the
you are.
year. You start to lose your senses in a bit because
Absolutely.
you're numbed down in
Yeah.
a way that you, because you have to compete constantly. I mean, you're working 4 days every week in a different town, and it just numbs you.
It would, yeah.
So you almost have to adjust your work rate in a sense that equates to longevity. Whereas with Ring of Honor, they're not on as intensive a schedule. I don't think
Yeah,
anybody's
no.
on as intensive a
I
schedule.
wouldn't know.
But the work rate, these guys, you won't see 3 minute matches or 4 minute matches in Ring of Honor. Every match,
Decent amount of time, yeah.
decent amount of time. It's a legit work rate. It's competitive. And it sells itself, you know what I mean? You're not going to see anything in Ring of Honor that's going to be insulting to your intelligence, or that's going to really make you bend reality or suspend your disbelief. I mean, it's as credible of a company in my eyes that I've ever seen.
Absolutely.
I mean, it's as legit as it gets
Yeah,
when it
you'd
comes
be
to
right in saying that,
wrestling.
yeah.
So I love it. I love
Yeah.
it. I mean, it still excites me
Yeah.
a
Do you think
lot.
it'll be as popular as WWE one day?
I don't think so, but I don't
Yeah.
think it needs to be.
Yeah, that's true.
You know what I
Yeah.
mean? I
Yeah.
don't think it needs to be. I think it's better off not being that
Yeah,
successful.
that's true. Yeah.
It keeps it as more of like the underground,
Yeah.
you know.
Basically in a league of its own,
Definitely, and
yeah.
that's where it
Yeah.
belongs.
Yeah.
That's where it
Absolutely.
belongs.
Absolutely.
Sometimes too big and too much can be a bad
Yeah,
thing.
for sure. Yeah. So our last question comes from Alice Collius. How painful was it being eliminated by Snitsky in the 2005 Royal Rumble?
Not as painful as Brock Lesnar's F5,
Yeah.
but it was. I think the aftermath is actually more painful because I was taken off TV for about 6 or 7 months after that because they thought that particular elimination, which was him clotheslining me off the apron and me doing a complete
Yes,
flip onto my face onto the ground. I think. They didn't expect that from me. And, going back as a kid, the Royal Rumble was my favorite event as a kid. That was what I
it
wanted to
is
be in
great.
more than anything. I mean, my friends and I, we would, even if I had five friends, we'd go over to one of their houses, whoever's parents had the biggest bed. And we'd go 1 through 30. And so like we'd each have six different names of guys, and we'd actually draw numbers, and we had our
Okay.
Royal Rumble, where basically you get knocked off the bed and you're eliminated, but then you
Yeah.
come back as this guy, and
Yeah.
you get not, you know,
Different
and
gimmicks.
oh, we used to do our battle royals or our Royal Rumbles all the time, and so that was really neat for me to be in that, and I, of course, you treat everything as if it might be your last time, and I wanted to really make an impression, and so that's why I kind of was willing to put my body on the line in that particular sense for that elimination, but they felt that it stole the moment in a way.
I wouldn't say that,
I
but
mean, because they replayed it and they didn't want to replay it, but they did it because they couldn't help because it actually looked as spectacular as it was. And I specifically remember there's a guy named Michael Hayes, and he came to me and he said, "That was really good, but that was too good." And the next thing I know, I'm off TV
definitely.
for 6 months, so that was a bit frustrating. But I'm proud of it.
Oh, that's good. Well, once again, Paul, thank you so much for doing this interview. I really
No,
appreciate
that's
it.
my
And
pleasure.
listeners, don't forget, Paul London, when are you coming back to Australia next time?
I'll definitely be back in November.
November,
There's a
yeah.
chance I could come back a little sooner.
Awesome.
So stay tuned, and
Awesome.
we'll do another one of these as the career progresses and as your career
Thank
progresses,
you, yeah.
and we'll
Absolutely.
do a part.